It was a few days before Christmas on the Oregon coast. Two families that lived next door to one another, and so the two guys opted to go sailing while the two wives went Christmas shopping. And so while they were out sailing, the wind came up and came a little violent, and they decided to head back to shore. So as they were heading back to shore, their sailboat hit a sandbar. And so they decided to get out. So they jump out into the icy water, and they're trying to push the boat off of the sandbar as it's banging against them. And one of them looks at the other one and said, "It sure beats Christmas shopping." And so the message today is time. Do you have any? And I guess the question is, do you have any time to go sailing, or do you have any time to go Christmas shopping? Some people will probably not realize that Christmas comes every 365 days. And it comes whether we're ready or not. And along with the Christmas season, the Advent season, are all kinds of activities that go on. Christmas parties, shopping, decorating, all kinds of observances. And as we were driving back yesterday, Cindy said, "I've got a busy week." And I thought, that's different. No, I didn't. But we were talking about things that we've got something going on Monday night, Tuesday night. She's got something going on Wednesday night. We've got something going on Thursday night and Friday night. So it is a busy time of the year. Probably also be an expensive time of the year. But it is. And so we kind of compress all of those things that are involved with Christmas into our busy lives. And we keep adding something else, another activity, and something else is going to happen. And so Christmas is going to come, whether your Christmas cards are sent out, whether the tree's decorated, whether the presents are wrapped, or honestly, even if you've shopped at all. And you don't have to be really too concerned about that, because the retail stores will rescue you from that. They will take care of everything that you need to have taken care of for the Christmas season. It was interesting. I actually saw this, I think maybe last year when I really began to notice it, that there were some stores that were not going to open on Thanksgiving, which I thought was, how nice is that? You know, that give your employees some time to spend some time with their family. It's not all about commercialism, and it's not all about consumerism. It's about Advent. It's about Jesus. And so I read a story this week, which I thought was kind of interesting, about a mother who was running around frantically trying to get some things done on Christmas Eve and find those last-minute gifts. And she realized she had lost her three-year-old son. And so she's tracking back to try to find where she had been and retracing her steps. And she finds him standing with his nose pressed against a frosty window. And when he sees his mom, he says, "Hey, Mom, look. It's Jesus, baby Jesus in the hay." She was stressed out. She grabbed his arm, jerked him, and said, "We don't have time for this. Can't you see I'm getting ready for Christmas?" And so sometimes we miss the whole meaning of Christmas. And it's ironic at Christmas time that we have to stop everything else that we do to worship. Because we can get too wrapped up in the season and too wrapped up in what goes on, and it happens to Christians as well as it does non-Christians, as well as it does other people. So the question that ran through my mind this week is, do you or do we have time for Christmas? Society values time almost more than it does money, when you stop and think about it. Ben Franklin said, I thought this was a great quote, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for that's the stuff life is made of." Time's the one commodity, that's the one thing we can't change. Every day, every minute has 60 seconds. Every hour has 60 minutes. Every day has 24 hours. No matter what we do, we can't increase those, and we really can't decrease them either. So we find time for consumerism, we find time for the commercialization of Christmas, but do we find time to worship? And so I thought, What if Joseph said, I don't care what Caesar says about paying my taxes. It doesn't make any difference. I'm too busy. I'm making bookcases for Christmas presents. I don't have time to go pay my taxes. Or what about Mary? I'm too young. I'm too young to be a mother. I haven't lived my life yet. I haven't dated anybody yet. And now there's this guy by the name of Joseph. I'm not even interested in Joseph. I'm not even married. Why would I want to do that? What about God? What if God would have said, I'm not interested in sending my son to that cruel, God-forsaken world of people that don't even follow me? Why would I send him? I don't have time. I'm not going to do it. In fact, anyway, it stinks and it's dirty. I'm not going to do that. But the good thing is, nobody said that. In fact, Luke 2:6 says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And then Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 4, he says, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. So God made time for us. Two phrases that stick out there is the time came, and when the time had fully come, Jesus was born. God didn't say, I don't have time. I don't have time for you. But he said, I'll make time. I'll make time for my creation. So that first Christmas morning, Jesus was born. So will we make time for Jesus? Well, there's some characters in the Bible that we talk about that didn't have time. The first one was the innkeeper. When Joseph shows up at the inn with his pregnant wife, and he's looking for a room, and he said, I don't have a room. Was he too busy to find one? Was he too busy to look for one? Well, after all, it was a census time, and he maybe had the only inn in the city, so maybe that was the only place that they could go. He had rooms to clean. He had towels to wash. He had decorations to put up. He had people to care for. He wasn't evil or unsympathetic. He was just too busy. So the innkeeper kind of reminds me of some people today that are just too busy with everything that's going on, and the commotion, let's call it, of Christmas, that takes their time away from really worshiping and really celebrating. A lot of people become addicted to activity. They got to be doing something. Cindy used to tell me that. She said, you got to be doing something all the time. And I did. I'm not that way anymore. I've learned a lesson. Obey. But some of you got that. But we can get too addicted to the things that are going on around us, and too addicted for the things in our lives that we don't stop and say, whoa, wait a minute. There's something else that's more important. Then there was King Herod. An old man, a sick man, nearly dead, who was afraid of losing his throne. And there were a lot of the tyrants of that day were the same way. Afraid that they're going to lose it. So he held tightly to everything that he could. He actually brutally removed people that got in his way. He killed his brother-in-law. He killed his mother-in-law. He even killed his wife. Well, one of them. He didn't have time for Jesus. He was like a lot of men today. And women too. They don't allow anything to interfere with their lives. And they'll go to almost any extent to maintain their lifestyle and to maintain what they have at the cost of everything else. their allegiance to someone else becomes unthinkable. I am not showing allegiance to anyone else. So we got the innkeeper, we got Herod, we got religious leaders. Of all the people that day that should have known about the advent and the birth of Jesus Christ, it should have been the religious leaders and the scribes. They had all of the writings and everything. They should have known that it was going to happen. They were the theological experts, the guardians of spiritual truth, so to say. But they never even bothered to travel that 5 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to see the birth of Jesus. They were more concerned about themselves and just didn't care. Uncaring, you know, what's that mean? That means they didn't care. Sometimes that's more dangerous and harmful than disliking someone. If you just really don't care about anyone. They didn't have time for the Savior because they didn't feel like they needed time. They had all the answers. They knew everything. They were self-righteous. They were arrogant. In fact, these are the same ones that despised Jesus and plotted against him when he began his earthly ministry. That's a sin, a deadly sin not to care. There's also a fourth group, procrastinators. Those people that put things off. They're going to get it done, just going to get it done later, maybe tomorrow. Had an opportunity of a lifetime. These religious leaders, an example, had that opportunity. Right before him was the Savior of the world, and they put it off. There's procrastinators in every generation. It's just that, like that idea, there's really no hurry. It's no big deal. There's always tomorrow. I'll buy the gift after Christmas when it goes on sale. We've been guilty of that when we see my family after Christmas waiting for the sales. I don't apologize for it. That's just the way the schedule worked out. There's those people that say, well, I'll go see Dad tomorrow. Maybe after the holidays when things aren't so busy. I'll turn my life over to Jesus, but maybe it'll be next Sunday. Tomorrow never comes. How many times have we been in a restaurant and the sign says, free beer tomorrow? Roger goes back tomorrow, but no. There's a legend that I read, and I thought it was kind of interesting, of a group of demons who were sitting before Satan's throne. And Satan, in a loud voice, says, who will go to the earth to convince people not to give their lives to Jesus? And so the first one says, I'll go. He'll go tell them there's no heaven. Satan said, that won't work. The conviction of a better life is too deep-seated in the hearts of men. The second one said, I'll tell him there's no hell. Satan thundered out. He said, man's conscience will witness against such mockery. Then a dark spirit glided forward. Satan, I'll go. And Satan says, what are you going to tell him? He said, I'm going to tell him that there's always tomorrow. You don't have to do it today, but you can do it tomorrow. There's really no hurry. And the end of that legend says that that demon went into the world and he's still proclaiming that same message today. That there's tomorrow. Do you identify with Joseph and Mary? It wasn't easy. It wasn't convenient. But they made time for Jesus. Or how about the innkeeper? Nothing wrong with what he was doing. He was just too busy. Or maybe Herod, who was so self-absorbed in his own agenda, that he didn't have time for anything else, so concerned about it. Maybe the religious leaders who thought, I don't need Jesus. I've got everything that I've got. I've got the law written in front of me. Why bother? Or do you know those that are procrastinators? There's always tomorrow. There's no hurry. I can make time for Jesus whenever I want. And we know those people. We know them all. In closing, if God made time for us, can't we make time for him this Christmas? Let's get ready for Christmas and make time for Jesus beginning now. Christmas is going to come whether we're ready or not. And Jesus is going to come again whether we're ready or not. And so my hope, and yes, are we going to do the same thing on Christmas Eve that we do every Sunday? Yes, we are. We're going to invite people to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So I'll tell you that in advance so that you know what we're going to do. But that might be somebody's opportunity. Now, I know a lot of you are talking about having friends and family come. And we're doing pre-Christmas Eve to try to reach more people that are usually busy with their families on Christmas Eve. There's a couple people that, you know, I like Christmas Eve, and I do too. But it's not about us. It's about them. It's about people that need Jesus. Because if we know Jesus, he doesn't care if we're here on the 23rd or the 24th. It didn't make any difference to him. I don't even think he established Christmas Eve service. But we want to do it for others. Because we need to take the time this Christmas to invite people. Because we don't want them to be procrastinators. We don't want ourselves to be procrastinators. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day. We are thankful for your words, for your wisdom. We're thankful, Father, for the prophecy of Isaiah. We're thankful, Father, for the words that we read from Luke about this last time that Jesus would celebrate this meal with his followers. We're thankful for those things. But Lord, help us as we prepare for this Advent season to pray for our family, to pray for our friends that we're going to invite. Accepting you is so simple. And really following it isn't all that difficult. Because our lives are in your hands and you guide us. So Lord, open our minds and our hearts this Advent season to be your hands and feet on this earth. Lord, we give you thanks for this day. And Lord, we help that you show us where our time can be best spent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.